Well, friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today's gospel reading, it actually doesn't start a new event. It's actually the conclusion of a story that Jesus put into motion at the very beginning of chapter 6. In that, we read that Jesus called the 12 together and then sent them out two by two and gave them authority over clean spirits. See, Jesus, he had sent the apostles away two by two in order to preach the good news and heal people and cast out spirits. And so the disciples left. They did what Jesus commanded them. And then the very first sentence of our gospel today is the account of the disciples' return. We read, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught." See, it's in the context of the disciples' return, their report, and then trying to get away from the crowds, that we see Jesus identify a need that the crowds have. The scripture says that Jesus had great compassion for them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Well, there's an author that tells the story of a photographer. And he was walking down the street one day, and he came upon a man who was choking. And what a picture, he thought. This says it all, a man alone, in need. I mean, what a message. And he fumbled for his camera and his light meter until the poor fellow who was choking, he realized that the help wasn't coming to him, and he grabbed the photographer's arm and he tried to say, "I'm turning blue." "That's all right," said the photographer. "I'm shooting in color." See, just noticing suffering isn't enough. Jesus identified the people's needs. He saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, and then he meets their needs by teaching them and leading them and healing them. See, Jesus shows through his actions, his character, and ultimately his identity as God. Now there's some layers to this gospel if we dig just a little bit. There's more here than meets the eye. See, the first person in all of the Bible to use the phrase "sheep without a shepherd" is Moses. In the book of Numbers, Moses announces to the people God's laws, and just as he finished doing that, God calls him up the mountain. Well, Moses, he got a little nervous about that. See, he had gone up the mountain before to hear from God and receive the Ten Commandments, and he left the Hebrew people alone without a leader, and when the Hebrews got tired of waiting for him, there was the golden calf incident. So when God called Moses up the mountain a second time, Moses asked God to appoint among the people leaders so that they would not wander like a sheep without a shepherd. See, Moses, he is the first shepherd, and Joshua, who is appointed, is the second shepherd. And there are many more in Israel after that. But not all shepherds are worthy of the name. In fact, our Old Testament reading today from Jeremiah says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. God says to the shepherd, it's you who have scattered my flock. You have driven them away. You have not been attending to them. I think we know, unfortunately, that there are some shepherds who divide communities, lead people astray. In today's scripture, Jesus sees that the people have been led astray by their leaders. They have been more concerned than they should be with the trivial matters of the law. They have made the small things big and the big things small. And Jesus says to them, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe, but you have neglected the weightier things of the law. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. See, the shepherds during Jesus' time have became concerned with minor laws, and then Jesus comes and tells them, no, friends, you have to be concerned with justice and faithfulness and mercy. These are the things that matter. See, the leaders had forgotten who they were accountable to, and the consequence was a people wandering aimlessly, not following the ways of God. And so Jesus comes to help them remember and shows them that he's not just another shepherd like Israel's had in the past. Jesus instead is the good shepherd. And it's Jesus who people will follow from now on. See, the leaders, they'd gotten a little too big for their britches. They thought of themselves more highly than they ought. They forgot that they are more sheepdogs than shepherds. Because Scripture tells us quite clearly who the good shepherd is. Psalm 23 reminds us who the shepherd is. This is one of the most famous psalms. It's read at almost every funeral or memorial service, and it brings comfort to those in despair, but it tells us who's the shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. See, Jesus, our Lord, is the good shepherd. He is the only shepherd. Everyone else, bishops and pastors and deacons and ministry directors and people in the pews, we work for him. And it's your job as a congregation to recognize when the good shepherd comes to you. Because even the best sheepdogs can go astray. Scripture, it tells us, it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. For many false prophets have come into the world. Scripture tells us to test the leaders. And here's the test, laid out in Scripture, 1 John. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. See, if you want to know whether someone's message is from God, then that person will confess that Jesus came in the flesh. But that's not it. That's just the first thing. That's what keeps you listening just a little bit longer. See, the next thing is, do they love? Because the first thing is going to inform the second. Do they love? Scripture goes on to say, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. For God is love. See, there are a lot of people in the world that pass the first part of the test, but not the second. I was sent this video online, and it was a group of street preachers, and they're on a college campus, and they're taking the Quran and they're ripping it up and putting it in their mouths and stomping on the floor, and they're yelling at all of the Muslim students who have gathered that they're going to hell and that they actually deserve hell. And so, of course, the whole campus is incited by these words. And in fact, in the wake of the shootings that happened this last week, there may be even a little part of us that goes, oh well. But it's a mistake for us to take the actions of a few and apply it to the whole. See, that would be like people blaming this church. That would be like the people blaming us for the picketing of soldiers' funerals by the Westboro Baptist Church. That's not us. That's not love. Sure, those Westboro Baptist people, they confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, but they are not from God, and I'm willing to say that firmly. They are not from God because they do not love. See, in the end, we test those who bring the message of Jesus in order for us to follow him more closely. We don't do it to just be correct. We do it in order so that we are faithful disciples. Our lives will bear the fruit of the shepherd that we follow. So we need to be sure that we are led by the one who brings life, the one who rose from the grave. And we know we found the good shepherd by the fruit that he bears in us. Flannery O'Connor writes, "You will have found Christ when you are concerned with other people's suffering and not your own. The beginning of compassion involves becoming aware of the suffering of others, but it is not enough simply to see the suffering of others. We need to feel it. It's possible to see suffering but not feel it." See, Jesus' response to the sheep without the shepherd is more than just noticing. It causes them to have compassion. Jesus felt for the crowds, and then he did something about it. He teaches them, and he heals them, and he feels their pain and responds. He is the good shepherd, and friends, we as the sheep are called to follow him. See, our Lord has always acted as the good shepherd. He leads people in the way of God. He casts out demons. He heals the sick. He protects the outcast and the lame. And he puts himself between us and danger. And our good shepherd, he calls us to listen to him and to follow him wherever he goes. And the question is, are you willing? Are you willing? Amen.